This is Ozarks at Large. Election Day is 1 week from today. Recently, three Arkansas state legislative candidates espousing extreme views made national news, raising the question if such rogue candidates should be more carefully vetted by their party. Ozarks at Large's Jacqueline Froelich has this report.
Arkansas is often caricatured as a culturally impoverished backwater. Still, Arkansans will tell you they are unfazed by such opinion, given the state's rich geographic, social, and economic landscape, the land of opportunity and all that. But very late in this roiling presidential election campaign season, Arkansas was once again shoved under an unfavorable light after state media reports picked up by national press and blogs exposed three Arkansas Republican legislative candidates expressing socially extreme views. Add to that two Democratic Arkansas U.S. congressional candidates, one who lied about his war record, and another arrested on a DWI charge. And the state appears to be plagued by bad political actors. So ought party leaders more closely vet or screen potential candidates? Mike Sivak is chairman of the Benton County Republican Party.
Well, that's a good question, and I think that is something that the party will have to deal with in the future. I do know that from a county perspective, we do get phone calls about candidates that are interested in running for these seats, you know, when the time comes for them to make that decision. You know, we encourage all that, you know, have good conservative values to make those decisions. We, in this county, do our best to see if we can get those folks maybe more interested on a local level. And some of them, you know, just, you know, they're not interested in those things. So, you know, they want to go into the House or the Senate. So, you know, in that case there, we generally have to forward them to the state party. But, you know, we do have a pretty good vetting process here in Benton County. A majority of folks that are in office now, if somebody calls us and says, hey, we're interested in running for this seat, you know, that we can call that elected official and say, hey, you know, so-and-so. And generally, most of the time, our elected officials here in Benton County will know of those names that are interested in running for those seats. But, I mean, as far as how we do this in the future, I think that is something that the party will be addressing in the years to come. And, of course, we don't want to infringe on anybody's freedom of speech either.
And certain Arkansas candidates are strongly exercising their freedom of speech. Take former Republican state legislator Charlie Fuqua, who's running for a seat in House District 63, Batesville. His campaign site has posted excerpts from his recently published book titled God's Law, The Only Political Solution, calling for the expulsion of all Muslims from America and prescribing a biblical approach to punishing rebellious children, stoning. Then there's conservative incumbent Representative Loy Mauck, District 26 Bismarck, who in published newspaper letters to the editor has offered a biblical rationalization for slavery in America, criticizing President Abraham Lincoln, calling him a depraved thug, comparing him to Adolf Hitler. And State Republican Representative John Hubbard, running for re-election in District 58 Jonesboro, has boldly posted on his campaign website excerpts from his 2009 book claiming that the enslavement of African Americans was a blessing in disguise, bringing them from a primitive nation to a prosperous and eventually free land. But he also says contemporary blacks feel entitled and are lazy. While no one from the Republican Party of Arkansas headquarters could be roused to comment for this report, Candace Martin, communications director for the Democratic Party of Arkansas, agreed to talk about this sensitive issue. She says the controversy is a step backward for the state.
Because then businesses see that, and they're afraid to locate in a state with backwards views. But the views of those three are not indicative of the views of the majority of Arkansans. And that is what we continue to focus on with our candidates, is making sure that we're doing everything to show what a great state we live in and why companies should locate here to create jobs. And, you know, the proud leadership that we've had that has balanced our state budget and cut taxes and improved education and incomes for Arkansas families.
But Candace Martin says it's up to individual parties to vet candidates?
Well, some may just go with a strategy, which is just to recruit anybody who's willing to run. You know, we are focused on recruiting candidates and public servants who have a heart for continuing the progress that our state has made.
The state election code gives the Arkansas Secretary of State responsibility for advising candidates and conducting federal, state, and district elections. The Arkansas Ethics Commission conducts compliance and enforcement under Arkansas Standards of Conduct and Disclosure Laws concerning candidates. The Secretary of State and State Election Commission publish handbooks on how to run for federal, state, county, and municipal office with important filing dates, glossary of terms, filing fees, and qualifications. Convicted felons and the mentally incompetent need not apply. And all candidates must maintain a certain code of ethics. But ethics were clearly breached by now-defunct Democratic 3rd District congressional candidate Ken Aden, who dropped out in July after admitting to exaggerating his military record. Then, this summer, Democratic U.S. Congressional District 2 candidate Herb Rule was arrested in Fayetteville for driving under the influence. He's contesting the charge. Jay Barth, a professor of politics at Hendricks College in Conway, says if this were a midterm election, the controversy would loom much larger.
But I do think those who are paying some attention, it clearly does highlight some of the most intensive kind of race-based rhetoric that I think we've seen in Arkansas really since the Civil Rights era. We've really, you know, as a state, I think, gained something of a moderate reputation, you know, the arguments about whether that's deserved or not. But you know, these statements really do seem fairly out of the mainstream, not just nationally, but for Arkansas as well.
Still, the sensationalized news about Hubbard, Mock, and Fuqua, which emerged late in this presidential election campaign, caught many off guard.
Well, what was surprising is that the Republican Party wasn't more prepared for it. I mean, these statements, these writings are nothing new. I mean, they've been out there. And, you know, political parties not only research their opponents, but they also research themselves and their own candidates and get ready for the inevitable attacks. And that was what was most striking, is that the Republican Party obviously just wasn't fully prepared for what was sitting right in the open, these pretty outlandish writings by all three of these gentlemen. And I do think that it shows that while the Republican Party has really gained a lot of success compared to its traditional status in Arkansas, it still is organizationally maturing and doesn't yet have all the pieces in place that you know, is typical for a political party.
State PACs, parties, and politicians routinely funnel money into local campaigns. According to campaign contribution and expenditure records filed with the Arkansas Secretary of State through last month, the Republican House Caucus Leadership PAC, Congressman Steve Womack, and Tim Griffin's campaigns, as well as Jim Bob Duggar of Springdale, all contributed to Charlie Fuqua's legislative run. Incumbent John Hubbard's run for office has been heavily supported by at least a half dozen GOP state legislators, several conservative state PACs, as well as the Koch brothers. State Representative Loy Mock has also raised thousands of dollars, thanks in part to Congressman Womack and Griffin. Dillard's corporate office and the conservative group Secure Arkansas. Walmart heir Jim Walton, the Arkansas Times reported late last week, initially supported Mock's run, but has asked for his money back. Doyle Webb, chairman of the Republican Party of Arkansas, has gone on record saying the party would no longer contribute to any of the three candidates' campaigns, characterizing the remarks as offensive and not the party's views. Professor Jay Barth says this is one way rogue candidates are screened out by their peers.
Many of these candidates, well, Mr. Hubbard and Mr. Mock in particular, you know, they really kind of came out of nowhere in the big Republican tide of 2010. And, you know, the better thing would have been to have really tried to find a way to rid the party of those candidates so that they weren't a potential albatross to the entire party.
An albatross, according to the dictionary, is either a big white shorebird or something that causes persistent, deep concern or anxiety. or something that greatly hinders accomplishment. But even a trio of albatrosses exposed this election in Arkansas will not hinder the current shift from what political scientist Jay Barth refers to as the end of two generations of pragmatic progressivism. The big reveal, of course, will take place November 6th. For Ozarks at Large, I'm Jacqueline Froelich.
This is Ozarks at Large. I'm Kyle Kellums.
I'm Antoinette Grajeda.
And it's about 25 minutes afternoon. This is the next to last day of the KUAF on-air fundraiser.
And the penultimate day.
Exactly, penultimate day. 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also pledge your financial support online.
At supportkuaf.com.
We are grateful for every dollar of financial support that we receive from you and other KUAF listeners. What we have learned is that not everybody prefers to make a financial contribution in the same way. Some people like to give during a pledge drive like this. Mm-hmm. They wait for it. They anticipate it, and they make a call or they go online. Some of you send donations through the mail on a regular basis. Many people before the on-air portion of the fall fundraiser sent money in early by check.
Yes, they did.
Some of you prefer to pay in one lump sum. Others want to break it up over installments. Some prefer a monthly electronic transfer from the checking account. We even have folks who remember KUAF in their wills. We appreciate each and every one of these generous gifts. We want the process to be as easy and convenient for you as possible. So decide how much you'd like to donate and how you'd like to pay for your contribution. Then you can call us at 575-5823, 800-522-5823, or online at supportkuaf.com, and then let us know your decision.
Absolutely. And a reminder that we do have a challenge that we're working on. We have a $1,500 challenge that has been issued by Charles Wilkins and Ingrid Fritch of Fayetteville. Thank you to them. This is a new member challenge. That means if you have never given to KUAF before, now would be a perfect time to do so because you will essentially be doubling your contribution. We need to collect up to $1,500, and Charles and Ingrid will match that, and this will be worth $3,000 for us. So if you have yet to contribute, now would be a fantastic time. You can do so by calling 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. That's 575-KUAF. Or you can pledge online anytime at supportkuaf.com.
The reason we spend a few days every fall reminding you that we would like to hear from you financially with your financial contribution is because the largest part of the budget comes from you, listeners just like you. We think that the people who use KUAF, the people who listen to KUAF, should be the people who pay for most of KUAF, and that is how it has worked for 28 plus years. It's how we intend for it to continue to work. And for that system to be operational, we need to hear from you if we haven't yet. Thanks to the many, many people who have already called in, pledged online, sent in contributions beforehand, the sustaining members who give throughout the year. We appreciate everybody, but there are some of you who haven't had the chance yet, but have the ability to do so, and this is the next to last day, so we'd like to hear from you now. 800-522-5823, 575-5823, or online at supportkuaf.com.
Now, most of us go through the exercise of tightening our budgets from time to time. Some people decide what to live without based more on its cost than its value. But when it comes to deciding whether to give to KUAF this year, we encourage you to consider both cost and value. The cost is easy because you set the amount of your gift. The value is pretty easy, too. Just add up the hours you listen every week. For many listeners, that's 10, 12, or even 14 hours a week. That's 5, 6, or 700 hours a year. It's a lot of time.
It is.
It's a lot of time. So when you consider the amount you can afford to give in relation to how often you listen, KUAF is a great value.
I think so.
I think so. So we ask that you, if you value KUAF and you can afford to do so, that you please make your contribution today. You can go online to supportkuaf.com, or you can call our phone volunteers at 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. That's 575-KUAF, and you can pledge your support there.
The decision to pledge is completely left up to you, of course. You could listen and not pledge. You you can decide that your listening habit is worth supporting in the amount of your choice and give us a call, 800-522-5823 or online support, KUAF.com. Speaking of our phone volunteers,
yes.
Thank you to BHK Cafe on the square in Fayetteville.
Today.
Yes, and so made sure that our volunteers have something to eat, and also thanks to the other restaurants that include Penguin Ed, Spring Street Grill, Hugo's, Ozark Natural Foods, just to name some. Abon Pan provided breakfast this morning. Many people, Little Bread Company, many restaurants making sure this fundraiser goes well. We appreciate their efforts.
Absolutely. Thank you to everyone who has helped us over the past several days with this fundraiser through volunteering of their time or bringing us food, or the people that, of course, have given their financial pledges of support. If you would like to do so, you can do so now at 800-522-5823 or 575-5823. You can also pledge online at supportkuaf.com.
And thank you very much.
Mm-hmm.